Today on The Journey.
God's grace saves us from what could have been. God saves us not just from who we were, but who we could have been.
When you have driven your life into the ground through disobedience, how do you put it all together again? Well, today, Ron Moore shares how King David picked up the pieces of his shattered world and through God's strength recovered what was lost. It's an example you can follow as well. Before that, I want to let you know about Ron's book, Worn Out by Obedience. Its insightful reflections offer warning, grace, and strength for the spiritually weary, and it's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Listen for the details later in the program. Now here's Ron with a message titled, The Grace of Recovery on the Journey.
Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Today we conclude a series we've been involved in. We've titled Ziklag, a time of the Old Testament King David's life, 16 months where he lived in the land of the enemy. As you're turning there, let me just set the context. When David was a teenager, God sent the prophet Samuel to him. David was out tending his sheep and minding his own business when he was called in and stood before the prophet Samuel. And Samuel takes oil and pours over David's head and whispers in his ear, "You're going to be the next king of Israel." Saul was the king at that time, but he was imprudent. He was impatient. He was disobedient, and God finally rejected him and said, "I'm going to pick my own king." David was the one. You remember in the next chapter, the Israelites were fighting the Philistines, and then there was this giant who kept coming out taunting the Israelites, and David said, "By the strength of God, I'm going to go get the giant," and he did. Then he was put in charge of 1,000 men, never lost a battle. He became a sensation overnight. They were making songs up about him. Saul has killed his thousands, but David, his tens of thousands, and Saul got jealous. And Saul tried to kill him. And the second time he tried to kill him, David said, "I got to get out of here." And so he took off. And he ran as a fugitive from Saul. Saul chased him for 10 years. After 8.5 years, David just got worn out. He was obedient. There was a time when he could have killed Saul twice. The second time he could have killed Saul, he didn't do it. And he said, "You know what? I didn't kill Saul. I obeyed. I did what was right. But Saul, he gets to go home. And I have to continue wandering out here." And David said, "I'm tired of this. Best thing I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines." And so that's what he did. And he lived a double life. And then one day he and his men, they're living in this little town called Ziklag. And they go back home. They go over the top of the hill. They expect to see their families there. But instead of seeing their families, they see a raiding party has come in, burned their city to the ground, and taken their wives and children. David and his men, scripture says, wept until they had no strength left to weep. These tough men, these men's men, they wept until they had no strength left to weep, because when you lose what's most important to you, all the macho and bravado gets sucked right out of you. And his men said, "David, you're the problem. It's your fault." And his men were talking of killing him. His back was against the wall, only one place to turn. And the last time we learned, when God is all you have, God's all you need. And at the end of verse 6, David found strength in the Lord his God. Grace of crisis has hit. God got David's attention. Today we want to look at the grace of recovery. How do you get back home from Ziklag? When David stood with God's strength, he still stood in a desperate situation. As David stood strengthened by God, he still stood in Ziklag, a city that had been burned to the ground. What used to be warm homes were now heaps of burning ashes. As David stood strengthened by God, he still stood without his family. His wife and children are gone. As David stood strengthened by God, he still stood in front of 600 angry men who were pointing their finger at him because they had lost their loved ones. Recovery is all by God's strength, but it doesn't happen overnight. There's some steps you have to take. And let's learn today from David's life in chapter 30 and 31 of 1 Samuel, the steps you have to take. The grace of recovery, I believe, involves these five things, these five lessons we learn from David's life. Let's look at these as we wrap up this series. Here's the first one. The grace of recovery begins when you humbly turn to God for direction. You remember David in chapter 27, the theme of this series. But David thought to himself, one of these days, Saul is going to kill me. The best thing I can do is to escape to the land of the enemy. Self-counsel. David said, I got to take matters into my own hands. I am tired of waiting on God. Been waiting on him for 8.5 years. Not going to wait on him anymore. I'm going to go over to the land of the Philistines. Now, after 16 months, his life burned around him. David said, I don't think I'm going to do any more self-counsel. It's time for me to hear from God. Look at verse 7. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue the raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. The ephod was an Old Testament garment that the priest wore. It was an armless vest that fit over their chest. Somehow, when a ruler needed specific direction, they needed to hear directly from God. They would call the priest. The priest would put this thing on, and God would speak to them somehow through this ephod. And that's what God does here. David says, I don't want to miss this. I have got to be clear. And so he calls for the ephod, and from that, God says, okay, go after the raiding party. You're going to succeed. Now, we don't have the ephod today, do we? But here's the clear lesson. David did not strike out on his own. He tried that before. David humbly turned to God for direction. Now, some of you have been in Ziklag and you're ready to get out of town. Aren't you glad today we finally leave Ziklag? But I got to tell you this. Unless you humbly seek God's direction for the way out, right after you read the sign, thank you for visiting Ziklag, you know what the next sign you're going to read? Welcome back to Ziklag. Because on your own, on my own, all we're going to do is take a U-turn and head right back. We have to humbly seek God's direction. Which leads us to the second point. God sovereignly uses people in the grace of recovery process. He will help you find someone to walk with you, keep you accountable, and someone who will not let you make a U-turn. Look at verse 9. God said, go get them, pursue the raiding party. But David doesn't even know who the raiding party is. It's hard to chase someone when you don't know who they are, right? So he leaves town. David and the 600 men came with him to Basar Ravine, where some stayed behind, for 200 men were too exhausted to cross the ravine. Remember, they have been weeping until they had no strength left to weep. Just remember those 200 men. We'll get back to them in a little bit. But David and his 400 men continued the pursuit, but they don't know who they're pursuing. So they found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David and gave him water to drink and food to eat and part of a cake of pressed figs and 2 cakes of raisins. He ate and was revived, for he had not eaten any food or drunk any water for 3 days and 3 nights. David asked him, to whom do you belong and where do you come from? And he said, I'm an Egyptian. I'm the slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. We raided the Negev and the Kerethites and the territory that belonged to Judah and the Negev of Caleb. And oh yeah, we burned Ziklag. Oh, David says, can you lead me to the raiding party? Now he knows who they are. And the Egyptian answered, well, swear to me before God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I will take you down to them. Amazing, isn't it? This Egyptian just happened to be the slave of an Amalekite who happened to get sick, who happened to be in the field that David and his men were walking through. It's a lot of happens, isn't it? God used this sick Amalekite slave whose master was part of the raiding party, and he knew where they were going. God sovereignly uses people in the grace of recovery. And when you leave Ziklag, he will place someone to walk with you and show you where to go. He will give you the strength. He will give you the grace. You seek his direction, but he will put someone flesh and blood to help you along the way. One of the hardest parts of moving out of Ziklag is to admit you can't do it on your own. Yeah, it begins with God. It begins with God's strength. It's all by God's grace. He is sovereignly involved in the process. But the Christian life is not meant to be lived solo. We need help. Recovery, even grace by God, is not a walk in the park. And so you need someone to walk with you, to encourage you, to help you not make a U-turn. And God will find that person for you when you leave Ziklag. That's a great promise. I have a friend whose marriage survived the sin of adultery. That was years ago, and now there has been healing and restoration of that marriage proven by time. When someone calls me and says, "Ron, I got to tell you, I've fallen into adultery, but I'm ready to get out," I call my friend and I say, "Can you help this person? Will you meet with this guy?" And he'll say, "You know what? I wish I didn't have this experience. But since I do, since I know God's grace, since I know about the recovery process, yeah." And he'll call that guy, it's always a guy, and he'll meet with him, and he will be available to him 24/7, and he will help that person walk out of Ziklag. Because that's what it takes. You need someone walking with you. God sovereignly uses people in the grace of recovery. Number three, the grace of recovery is an engagement in a battle. Look at verse 16. The Egyptian led David down, and the Amalekites were scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. David fought them. It involved a battle. Verse 17, he fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day. None of them got away except for 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder, or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and herds and the men and drove them ahead of all the other livestock, saying, "This is David's plunder." David fought for what he had lost. Recovery involves a battle. For sure, a spiritual battle. Satan is the mayor of Ziklag. Satan is not fond of repentance and restoration. Satan does not want people leaving Ziklag. He will do everything to keep you there. Our struggle, Paul says in Ephesians 6, is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, the powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Peter says we are vulnerable and we have to keep alert because our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So Peter says, resist him, standing firm. There's a battle you're going to have to fight. The battle we fight when we leave Ziklag is going to be against one of three things, and maybe all of them at the same time. What are they? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Sometimes Satan is going to be a spiritual battle. He's going to put things in front of us. Sometimes it's going to be our own battle, our own flesh. Because let's face it, Scripture is clear. Sin is fun for a season. It's pleasurable for a season. And so when you leave Ziklag, there are some battles, and the battles are hard. If you're not with someone else, and if you're not strengthened by God, and if you're not determined to fight the battles, you're going to turn around. Because Ziklag has some seasonal fun in it. And so many people go back to Ziklag when they get out and they have to fight the battle. Now I want to say something. I'm going to be very careful saying this. Listen carefully, please. When you go to Ziklag, there's going to be some collateral damage. When you drop the bomb of sin, people around you get hurt by the shrapnel. And you're going to have to fight to win them back. You're going to have to engage in the battle of letting them know that you are truly sorry. You're going to have to engage in the battle of patience because they're not going to heal overnight. And I see so many men and women, they go through Ziklag, they get out of Ziklag, they're so excited. Man, they've been living a double life. They've been living lies. God has forgiven them. They are relieved. And they're back in the Word, and they're back doing spiritual disciplines, and they're so excited. But their family's still over here bleeding. And they get frustrated that their wife's not catching up. Why is it taking her so long? Or their kids aren't running back to them. You got to give it some time. Here's a fourth lesson. Grace receivers are generous grace givers. Look at verse 21. So they've chased the Amalekites. They defeated them. Now they're headed back with all their wives and family and plunder. And then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow him and who were left behind at the Besar Ravine. Remember those 200 guys? They were too tired to go. They came out to meet David and the people. And David and his men approached. He greeted them, but all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers said, because they did not go with us, those wimps, we had to go do all the fighting. They stayed here. We're not going to share any of the plunder with them. They don't deserve it. They stayed here too exhausted. We were tired too, but we sucked it up and we went and won the battle. Now we'll give them back their wives and children because we do not want their wives and we don't want their children. They can have them, but we will not share the plunder with them. Now check this out. Verse 23, David replied, "No, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and handed over to us the forces that came against us. Who will listen to what you say?" Check this out. The share of the men who stayed with the supplies. I love that. Those guys too exhausted and the 400 were calling them wimps. He said, no, no, no. They stayed with the supplies. They stayed here. They had an important job. He gives them an out. Graciously gives them an out. It'll be the same as that of him who went down to the battle. All were share alike. And David felt so strongly about that. Notice what he did in verse 25. He made this a statute, an ordinance for Israel from that day to this. Isn't that great? David, man, he had received grace. It was God who gave everything back, and he was not going to pick and choose who to show grace to. I want to talk to those of you who are mature believers. You've been a believer for a long time. Sometimes we can be the most ungracious people in the church. We forget where we were. We forget what God saved us from. And so when we see someone else fall, we say, how could they do that? What happened to them? Wouldn't happen to us. We can be ungracious. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul's writing to a very proud Corinthian church. And he says this, "Do you know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God?" And they're saying, yeah, we know that. We know those wicked people. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul says, "Don't be deceived. Neither sexual immoral or idolaters or adulterers or prostitutes, homosexual offenders, thieves, the greedy, the drunkards, slanderers, nor swindlers, they will not inherit the kingdom of God." Can't you just say amen? Paul's setting them up. Verse 11. Oh, by the way, that's what some of you were. Don't forget that. But you were washed. You didn't wash yourself. God did that. You were sanctified. You didn't sanctify yourself. God did that. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. Those who have received grace are generous grace givers. That leads me to my last point. God's grace saves us from what could have been. You remember when right before they find the Amalekites had burned the city, he wanted to go to battle against the Israelites. He's lined up with Achish. Achish, the king, has kind of taken him under his wing. He's lined up to go to battle against the Israelites. The other four kings saying, no way, we're letting David and his men go into battle because right in the middle of battle, they're going to turn on us. So Achish goes back to David and said, David, sorry, you guys are going to have to go back home to Ziklag. The other kings say, you can't go. And David argued with him. 1 Samuel 20:29, David said, but what have I done? What have you found against your servant from the day I came until now? Why can't I go and fight against the enemy of my Lord the king? I want to go fight. Achish said, no, can't go. That's when David went back to Ziklag. That's when the place was burned down. And that's then when they went, found their wives, and defeated the Amalekites, right? Now, when they were doing that, the Philistines were out fighting against Israel. So let's find out what happened in that battle. Look at verse 1 of chapter 31. Now, the Philistines fought against Israel. The Israelites fled before them, and many fell slain on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines pressed hard after Saul and his sons, and they killed his sons. The fighting grew fierce around Saul, and when the archers overtook him, they wounded him critically. Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and run me through, or these uncircumcised fellows will come and run me through and abuse me. But the armor bearer was terrified and wouldn't do it, so Saul took his own sword and fell on it. When the armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he too fell on his sword. So Saul and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men died on the same day. That's the battle David could have been in. Now you remember, David had the chance twice to kill Saul, but David said, I will not kill God's anointed. David wanted to be in this battle. That's the battle that Saul died in. Man, I tell you what, God's grace saves us, doesn't it? God saves us not just from who we were, but who we could have been. So David's out of Ziklag. And you know what happens now? After Ziklag, David's best days were ahead of him. And yours can be too. When you get out of Ziklag, here's the beautiful promise of God's grace. Your best days are ahead of you. You can leave Ziklag behind. And I pray that through this series, some of you have done that. And I pray that if you haven't, you do that today.
And please stay tuned. Ron will return with a sample of his new podcast, Fresh Faith, just ahead. Do you desire to turn the corner in your walk with Jesus? If so, maybe you don't know where to start. You feel held back by the past, or maybe you're deeply scarred by sin. Well, King David, the man after God's own heart, experienced this very thing. In Ron Moore's book, Worn Out by Obedience, David is presented as a spiritual mentor. He's both flawed and on fire. He's the person you are and the person you want to be. In Worn Out by Obedience, you'll discover how God often molds your heart, like King David's, in seasons of brokenness, loneliness, and disappointment, sometimes even in your waywardness. Worn Out by Obedience is published by Moody Press and can be yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a sample of his question and answer podcast called Fresh Faith.
How do you handle unwanted parenting advice from the outside, like your mother-in-law? Well, first of all, as a husband and wife, you have to be on the same page. You have to have a mission for your marriage, and you have to understand how you're going to handle these types of situations. If a mother-in-law is being invasive in parenting advice, I mean, sometimes you got to determine, is someone just giving advice, or are they getting into an area that's crossed the line? And when they cross the line, then the spouse whose mother it is, they need to go talk to that mother and just say, we want you so much to be involved in our lives and lives of our children, but this is our child. I think these are just real life conversations you have with people who might overstep the line sometime. And we have to be honest and we have to have good discussions, and those discussions are going to reap benefits further down the line.
We hope you'll look for the online insights Ron shares in the Fresh Faith podcast. It's at BibleChapel.org under the resources link on our front page. And don't forget to order your copy of Ron's encouraging book, Worn Out by Obedience. If you're spiritually weary, discouraged, or exhausted, Worn Out by Obedience will help you to keep going or start moving. It's published by Moody Press and is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Ross Draver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, we ask that you tell your friends and family about our program. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on The Journey.